First Thessalonians is where I'm going to have you turn. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember, the theme of this letter, the reason Paul wrote this letter, was to encourage the Thessalonian church to live their lives in light of eternity. Right? You know, there are certain messages that have to be delivered that make you say, ooh, I sure hope he takes it well. Hope she receives this well. And it's always a relief when somebody receives tough news in a very good way. They take it well. And usually we're talking about bad news, aren't we? When we say, boy, I hope they're going to take this news well. But you know, the same is true of the gospel and the word of God. The word of God has bad news and has good news. But the truth is, when the word is delivered, you hope people take it well, because often they do not. Let's refer back to verse 6 to the Thessalonians and how Paul commented on the way they received the word. It says in verse 6, chapter 1, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Remember, the Thessalonians were commended here for having received the word of God well. They took it well, even though it was hard, even though there was affliction involved with that. Because how one receives the word determines the outcome of how this person walks with the God of the word. Do you remember when Mike Pelletier was here? He said, he was talking about a gentleman he was working with, he was trying to minister to. He was a Christian who was actually showing much resistance to the word. And the man really liked chewing gum. He chewed gum all the time. So Mike finally, to get to the heart of the problem, said, "Listen, I notice you like to chew gum." He says, "If I could show you in the Bible that God does not want you chewing gum, would you give it up?" The man said, "No, probably not." And Mike said, "That's the problem. No, the Bible is not against gum chewing, but the problem was this man would not receive the word of God in obedience." To receive the word that God so readily gives is to receive it all, right? It's to take every bit of it, whether it's a tough pill to swallow or not. And that's what it is to receive the word well, to receive it all. And that's what the Thessalonian people did, and they were commended for it. And when you receive God's word well, there's certain results. Just like when you don't receive it well, there are certain consequences. Well, Paul dives into the results here with the Thessalonians. Let's take a look at this. Verse 8, what is the result number one? He says in verse 8, he says, "For from you," he's talking to the members of the Thessalonian church here, he says, "From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. The word of the Lord has sounded forth." What happens when the word is received? Well, number one, people get vocal about God. People get vocal when they receive the word. Well, they just don't shut up about the Lord. Sounded forth means it comes through. Any of you go to a Memorial Day parade last week? Okay. What sounded, when they gave the speech at the parade, what sounded at the name of each veteran who has died since last year's? They sound a bell. It's a very distinct sound, isn't it? And then what played at the end of the reading of all those names? Taps, typically three times, plays once with two echoes. My son Samuel got to play the second echo to taps in Casanova. And it's usually the three trumpets are spread throughout. Okay? Sounds like that can make a person just stop and listen. Well, folks, regarding the word of God, you, Christian, you, the believer, are the bell and the trumpet to sound forth God's word. And when believers just can't keep quiet about God, the word can make people stop and listen. You did, didn't you? You know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you stopped at some point to listen to the trumpet of God's word. Sometimes new believers can sound forth with such zeal that the message comes across more like an air horn than a trumpet or a bell, but that's okay. The point is, they can't keep quiet. You can't keep quiet when you receive God's word well. And that's what Michaela did tonight. She just couldn't keep quiet from the things that she heard regarding God's holy Bible. And then he continues on in verse 8 and says, sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. That is, every place you went, talking about God. It says, in every place, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Here's the second result of what happens when the word is received well. People display faith in God. In other words, their actions back up their words. Okay? Faith is not just spoken, folks. Faith is displayed. In fact, it better be. And I know that some people will think you're crazy or foolish, or maybe that you've been deceived or brainwashed for what you believe. But what they can't deny is that you believe. They can't deny that when you're living it as well as speaking it. And Paul saw the firsthand results of this. Those Thessalonians, everywhere they went in the area of Thessalonica, they just couldn't keep quiet and couldn't stop living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever Paul and his team, because remember he had a missionary team with him, whenever they went to visit some of those same places, there was just nothing more to say. That's what he means when he says, we didn't need to say anything. Okay? Maybe some of the people that they had reached out to had already gotten saved because of that Thessalonian church. Maybe some of the people they reached out to had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but they all heard it. And Paul had nothing else to add. You know, I feel like that sometimes. We, you know, our special music at Open Door is just, we're just so blessed with good music. And sometimes, I mean, the message of God's word comes through so loud and clear in one of our special pieces that I feel like getting up in the pulpit and saying, we're done. I got nothing else to add to what truth was just saying today. And that's how Paul and his team felt. So, man, we go to share Christ with these people, and they've already heard it all. I have nothing else to add. Take a look at that word in verse 8. Halfway towards the end of the verse, it says, your faith toward God has gone out. Different English translations will use a different term there. But the phrase, or the term, gone out, is in what is called the perfect tense. Now, what does that mean? The perfect tense is used of a word when the word describes something that happened in the past, but the results carry right on into the present. In other words, it didn't just happen then and then was gone, and that's it. No, it happened with shock waves that carry on into the present time. In John 19:30, Christ hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. That phrase, it is finished, was perfect tense, meaning the finished work on the cross happened then, but the effects of that work carry into the present, right? People are still getting saved because of that finished work. Well, this is the tense that Paul used of the Thessalonians when he says in verse 8, your faith has gone out. It's something that happened then when you shared Christ, but the effects are happening right into the present. Paul said, I'm seeing it. I go into these places and your faith has rippling effects. Shockwaves are still going out everywhere we go that you've already gone. See, people display their faith in God. And then, verse 9 is your third result of what happens when people receive God's word well. It says in verse 9, for they themselves declare, they, that is, the people that the Thessalonians have gone and preached to, and now Paul's meeting up with these same people, those are the they. He says, they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Third result, when you receive God's word well, when people receive the word well, people actively serve God. I mean, it's not lip service. It's action, man. The ones that Thessalonians witnessed to were later met by Paul and his team, and they said, oh yeah, we already heard about this Jesus from those people over there that are meeting in what they call the Way. That's what they called Christianity back then in the early days. Yeah, those people of the Way, they already told us about Jesus. Right? And then they would declare two things, it says in this verse. It says they would declare, first of all, what kind of entry that Paul's mission had to them. So evidently the members of the Thessalonian church were saying, yeah, this missionary team came to us and told us about Jesus Christ, the one and true God, and what he did on a cross for us. And that word entry means, it means an invasive breach, like on an enemy stronghold. When an enemy would charge a castle with a battering ram to tear down that big, huge door or gate that blocked the castle, that's what they were entering in an invasive way. That's what this word means. The Thessalonians were saying, yeah, these guys came with a very evasive message, and they battered down our door with the truth of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, that's what the gospel does. It's a holy message given to an unholy world. Those are enemies. So obviously, the gospel cannot be given without some form of invasion on the one who receives it, right? And the gospel goes against the grain of our sinful natures. Our sinful nature says, first of all, if there is a God, and I doubt there is, because I like being my own God, but if there is a God, then he's okay with me. I'm a good person. I'm tolerant, right? I'm decent to people. And then you tell them, there absolutely is a God, and that God says, your best is as filthy rags compared to his standard of perfection. And therefore, you have no hope of going anywhere but hell based on your works. But Jesus Christ did what you could never do for yourself. He took your sin, he took your penalty, and he paid for it himself on the cross. And now he offers it to you as a free gift if you'll take it by faith. Boy, that goes against our grain, doesn't it? That's a battering ram knocking down our door. And the people around Thessalonica heard about this gospel from that little church and said, this is how we received it. And they couldn't keep quiet about it. You know, the second thing that they declared, notice again verse 9. It says, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So the second thing they declared was how the Thessalonians turned from idolatry and served not a God, but the God. What is that, Michaela? That's objective truth, right? He is the God. And remembering that these people that this little church reached out to, well, they were Thessalonians themselves, right? They were friends and co-workers and relatives of these church members. And so they couldn't help but see the change from idolatry to godly worship. You can deny what a Christian believes. What you cannot deny is a changed life. It's just hard to argue with that. And when people change and don't do the things they used to and replace it with other things that they've never done before, folks, that's evidence of Christ at work. And yeah, likely some of them mocked the change, they ridiculed the change, but they could never deny the change. So face your fear. Because your change in front of people is going to speak loudly. Listen, you young people who are here tonight, well, actually anybody, but quite often you young people, especially if you go to a secular school, the public school system, when your unsaved friends ask you why, hey, why don't you go with us partying after school on Fridays? You know, why don't you smoke? Why don't you say certain things? How come you never gripe about your parents? Why don't you have a drink with us? You know, why? Can I encourage you, young people? if your reasons for doing the things you do and not doing some of the things you do are biblical, then tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Don't come up with excuses and say, well, here's why I can't go with you out on Sunday mornings because I'm at church. Because my parents make me. Is that why? If it is why, well, you have another set of issues to deal with. But if your reason for going to church is more than that, then tell them like it is when they ask you, hey, how come you don't go hang out with us on Sundays? You know, how come you don't have a drink with us? Tell them, Jesus Christ saved me from hell. And anything that's going to hurt my relationship with Jesus, my Savior, then I'm going to avoid. Alcohol hurts my relationship. Skipping church when I could be there hurts my relationship. Partying is going to hurt my relationship. And I just don't want to do that. So in other words, don't tell your friends what saves your face. Tell them what will save their souls. Now that's what service to Christ is. And the people of Thessalonica, boy, they just couldn't help but serve the Lord and tell it like it is. They received the word well. And then fourthly, here's the fourth result in verse 10. It says, Paul says, and this is what else these people were telling Paul. He says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. When people receive the word of God well, those people look forward to God. They actually look forward to him. Can't wait for he who was raised from the dead to come and deliver you from the wrath to come. The Thessalonians couldn't keep quiet about that to their neighbors and friends. They talked about how Christ was resurrected. They talked about how Christ saved them from the future wrath, and they talked about how he was coming back for them one day. Anticipating the return of Christ is just a result of really taking God's word in well, isn't it? Don't let temporary joys in this life rob you of your anticipation of Jesus Christ who's coming back. Don't let that rob you, okay? Should Christ return before you get married and have kids, or should he return before you reach some of the earthly goals, the goals you'd like to set in this life? That's okay, folks, because those goals that only apply in this life really won't, the joy they bring will pale in comparison to the joy of seeing your Savior in the clouds. It'll pale. So anticipate the return of your Lord. And when you consider that you are saved from the wrath to come, that's what he says. He says, yeah, they couldn't quit talking about that Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. I think I told you about my dad and my uncle and a whole bunch of their buddies when they were teenagers. They went camping in the desert outside of Phoenix, and they did something really dumb. They camped and set up all their sleeping bags in a wash, a desert wash. And what is a desert wash? Well, the desert is filled with these washes. They're basically, you got desert with gravel and cactus and plants, and then you have what looks like a creek, a sandy bottom creek, except there ain't no water in it, okay? It's a wash because all the rainwater, whenever it hits in the desert, that hard desert floor, doesn't soak it up. The water just runs into the washes, and that's where the water takes off. And so you get a rainstorm. You get these washes that swell up with water and flow like a mad river for about 20 minutes. And then they're dry again. All right? And so they camped in a wash. You can understand why that's dumb. All right? Well, it wasn't water or a flash flood that caught up with them at about 2 or 3 in the morning. It was the sound of hooves. Horses. They were open range horses. They'd been together, and for whatever reason, something spooked these horses in the middle of the night, and they stampeded down the wash that they were sleeping in. These guys were sleeping in, and they could feel it. I mean, they could hear it first, and then they could feel it. And everybody jumped out of their bag and took off. Now, see, when you have something like that coming your way, you got two ways to remedy the situation, right? Number one, stop the horses. Just stop them. Well, that's not going to happen. So number two is what? Get out of the way. Problem is, I think it was my Uncle Donnie who was up in his sleeping bag and couldn't get it unzipped. And so everybody else is there, and he's sitting up, and he's trying to get up like a worm, and he couldn't unzip this thing. And a few of them ran back down there, just grabbed his whole body, sleeping bag and all, and threw him up on the bank and jumped out as those horses just came running through. Delivered from the wrath to come. God's wrath is coming down that wash. So one of two things can happen. We can stop it. No, we can't. Guess that option's gone. The only other thing is to get out of the way. The problem is we can't get out of the way. We're like my Uncle Donnie stuck in a sleeping bag, a cocoon of sin that we can't break ourselves. It's going to take Jesus Christ to deliver us, and lo and behold, that's exactly what he did on the cross. Delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, it's possible the wrath is a specific reference to eternal judgment in hell. That's certainly possible, but another possibility is that the wrath refers to that day of judgment, the day of the Lord that starts with the rapture, followed by seven-year tribulation. And that's a possibility, that we're being delivered not only from hell, but having trusted Christ, we will be delivered from the tribulation that is coming to this earth, and Christians will have no part of that, okay? And either way, aren't you glad to be part of the deliverance, having trusted Christ, that the wrath of God has nothing on you? You see how the temporary goals in this life, you know, as pleasurable as they are to achieve, they pale in comparison to what we have still coming. So you have it. When the word is received well, and it's hard to receive the word well at times, isn't it? The word has some very tough instructions. It can be convicting. It includes instructions that can only be achieved through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you receive it well, you grow, right? And as a result, other people get saved. And then they grow. And their churches grow. It was receiving the word well that made that little church in Thessalonica grow. It was receiving the word well that made this church back in the 1970s grow. And it's receiving the word well that will make this church continue to grow today. When we rely so much on organized church outreaches to grow our church, we get soft and lazy. But when we rely not so much on organized outreaches, even though there's a place for those and we practice those, but instead we receive and rely on the word of God to work through us as individuals, folks, we grow, the people around us do, and so does our church, spiritually, if not numerically, right? And sometimes when you are growing in the Lord, your growth spurt can be such, you just can't keep quiet about it. It just bubbles through. And you ask your pastor to give you 10 minutes to speak about your experience in the church service. Father, we just thank you again for this little church in a very worldly town called Thessalonica. We thank you that your word was more powerful than the worldliness of that town. And these people just couldn't keep quiet. They couldn't help but serve you and love you because by faith they received the word. I thank you for this church here at Open Door and its rich history of just one person after another receiving your holy and perfect word. First by accepting the gospel by faith, believing in Jesus Christ, and then believing the words of Jesus Christ. All the words. Because of that, we're still growing here at Open Door today. May we continue to build one another up in this growth. And also, again, Lord, give us courage, boldness, joy, and delight to open our mouths and talk to others that they too may hear the wonderful message of our Savior who died for us, but who also rose for us and to this day lives for us. We thank you in his name. Amen.